One of the things I would like to talk about a little bit today is throughout the ages, God's people are always waiting upon God for His perfect will to be done. And every true child of God wants the perfect will of God to be done in our lives and in His Word. And we know that, you said earlier, what can we know without God leading and guiding us in the Word of God? Because the more I study the Bible, the Word of God is very difficult to understand. It is not as simple as some people might say it is. It's not an easy book to be understood because we know that the Bible came from whom? From the infinite mind of Almighty God. And it's very difficult to understand the things that we thought we understood a few years ago. Now God's Word is correcting us that it wasn't correct. We're learning now that we're almost at the end of this world existence. We know that, I believe that May 21 was Judgment Day. We're now learning that the door to salvation is closed. And all this is in God's control. Many may not like it. And so many things that we may see in the Bible that we may not approve of, but we know that it is God who wrote the book, the Bible. It is God's salvation plan. It's not ours. So we have to come humbly before the Word of God. And, oh Lord, You teach me from Thy Word. And we have to come to God's Word with a humble attitude, recognizing that we don't know anything from the Bible except for the grace of God. The little that I do understand from the Bible, I can't take any credit for it. We can't take any credit for anything. We're sinners. We deserve to be destroyed forever. And we come humbly before God, beseeching Him that He will lead us into all truth. And you know how He tells us to study the Bible, compare spiritual with spiritual. We don't come to prove what I think, but what the Bible says. But with that, we know that, as I said, that the God's people throughout the ages have been crying out to God to complete His salvation plan. That's what we want, that God will complete His salvation plan, give us our glorified spiritual bodies, and go to live with Him forevermore. But we have to wait. We have to wait upon God. And if you turn to Revelation chapter 6, God gives us this picture here in Revelation chapter 6. Start reading in verse 9. It says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." So God gives us this picture in heaven of true believers there that's crying out to God, "How long, O Lord? How long will we wait until Thou complete Your salvation plan?" But God says, "Yes, rest a little while." And you know, we rest in Christ. You know, God has more things to do before He actually complete His salvation plan. But with that mindset, we see that we have to wait upon Jehovah for Him to complete His salvation plan. God has given us a tremendous amount of information from the Bible regarding the day in which we're living in. May 21 was Judgment Day and all this, and we're learning that hell is not a literal place of fire. It's when an unsaved person dies, that's it. That's it. God will not resurrect them and reconstitute their bodies again to stand for judgment before God. That will never happen. When an unsaved person dies, that's it. In other words, God's been merciful to him. God could easily create a place of a lake of fire and have mankind there burning forever. He could have done it, but that's not his plan. That's not his plan to do so. He destroys them forevermore. That's it. They're wiped out. Their names are taken out of the book of life forevermore. And how wonderful that is, that we have loved ones who is not truly saved, that they won't burn in hell forevermore. They're just simply destroyed forever. And just God's mercy upon the unsaved of the world. But you know, we're living too in a time where we want to be with Christ, all the true believers. That's our heart desire, to be with Christ forevermore. You know, we'll be taken from this world and we'll be with our Heavenly Father in the new heaven and new earth. But in the interim period, we have to wait. But while we're waiting, God is testing us. We're being tried. And you know, that is God's program. If you go back to the Garden of Eden, God sets up a testing program for mankind. He tests us. He tries us. And if you go through the Bible, you see where he tried Israel as they came out of Egypt. They failed the test. It was a test. And as you see Abraham, he tested him. He was obedient to God. And you see all these different things where God tests us. That's his program, to test us. And we're living in a day which now we're being tested. And many people are failing the test. Many people are failing this test. And many probably are saying, where's the promise of his coming? Didn't you say that, you know, May 21, as we thought it was going to be, that it would be the end of the world and judgment day and all these things? And we're being laughed at. We're being mocked. We're suffering shame for the name of Christ. Don't worry about that. Mankind is in his rebellion. He doesn't want this world to end at all. If you ask somebody when they think the world might end, they think it's going to go on for million more years. But the Bible doesn't teach that. We're living in a day where we're right at the end of the world. But if you will turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, here God give us some more information that he tries us. He's going to test us. In 1 Peter chapter 4 in verse 12, he tells us in 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." He warns us. He's going to try us. He's going to test us. And all these things are being done for a reason. It's for a reason. It goes on in verse 13. "But while we're being tried or being tested by God, we shouldn't..." Oh, forget this. No. In other words, God tells in the next verse, he says, "But rejoice." Oh. Rejoice in our trials. And he's going to give us more information. "But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." See how we should look at trial? And many people have many difficulties in their lives, but God says rejoice. How long is that trial is going to be? It's just for a moment. How long is our life in this world? It's only but for a moment. But for a moment. If the Lord would say not come for another 10 years or 20 years, how long is that? For us, 20 years, oh man, 20 more years of this. That's not the way we ought to look at it. Remember now, no, God has given us eternal life. So whether we wake or sleep, we're the Lord's. And he's guiding all this. He's working all this out. And he tells us that we're going to be tried. We're going to be tested. You know, and so forth. So we shouldn't look at trials and tribulations or God is testing us the wrong way. It's a blessing to be tried and tested by God. He's telling us that we are his sons or we are his daughters. And he's doing it for our good. And all this bring praise and glory to God. And in verse 14, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye." That's how we have to look at it. We're blessed. We should be happy. And it goes on, "For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you, and their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." God is glorified in our trials and our testing. God is. So all this is working out. God's salvation plan is working out to the praise of the glory of God. Why did he save anyone? He tells us in the book of Ephesians, we're saved to the praise and glory of God. Not because he sees something that was good in me or you or anything else. There is no goodness in any one of us. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Not one of us. No matter who you are or where you're from, there's none good, the Bible tells us. So God, if God is trying us, and the true believers will pass the test. Because God is the one who keeps us. He's the one who's guiding us. He's the one who's working all this out in each and every one of his people. So it's a blessing to be tried and tested. And we're being tried now, you know, by God. Here we thought, what's going to happen on May 21? He didn't give us all the information. And we're being tried. We're being tested by God. God knows exactly what he is doing. If we're being tried, what should we do? Start feeling sorry for ourselves? No. What should we do? We go to the Bible and find comfort and strength in the Bible. Because the Word of God comforts the child of God, isn't it? That's where we get our comfort from, is in the Bible. But turn over to the book of James. James chapter 1, verse 12. Gives us a little bit more information about when we're being tried or tested. It says, James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. We've been tried. We've been tested. We're blessed. We're blessed. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Crown of life really is pointing to Christ. Isn't that a little crown on our head? Crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And who are the them that love him? All of God's elect. We are the ones who love God. God's people are his elect. So you see, it's a blessing to be tried, because if we don't have trials in our life, we're bastards and not sons, the Bible tells us. So it's a blessing that God is trying us and testing us. He's purging us out. And those who are not truly saved, they're going to fall by the wayside. They will fall. But the true believers, we have no strength within ourselves. It's not as, you know, I'm strong and young and I'm going to pass the test. No, God keeps us. He keeps us in his hand. And we will endure because of Christ. Not because of anything that we know or who we are. We endure Christ's the trials that God placed in our life because of Christ. Because remember now, he's the one who works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. So we can't take credit for anything whatsoever. Turn over to Romans chapter 15. In the book of Romans, chapter 15, verses 4 to 6, here he tells us, for whatsoever things were written aforetime are written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation, word consolation there is the word comfort, is the God of comfort, grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Now, we're like-minded. Why are we like-minded? Because when God saves us, he's given us the mind of Christ, spiritually speaking. So all the true believers are like-minded. We're like Christ because we have the mind of Christ. We're like-minded in that way. And that talks about how everybody have different skills or personalities. But spiritually, we are like-minded because God has given us the mind of Christ. Spiritually, so we're like-minded in that sense. Verse 5 again of Romans 15. Now the God of patience, and he's the God of patience, and consolation, comfort, grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. See, all these, this is in Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind. Remember, spiritually speaking, and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So all the true believers who are saved are spiritually minded, and we're one mind, and we're going to glorify God. All the true believers. doesn't make a difference how much of the Bible we know or we don't understand, because salvation has nothing to do with how much you understand or what you know from the Bible. What about a baby who's truly saved now? What can they? They can't read. They can't comprehend anything. But spiritually, we're in that baby who's truly saved, or one mind with Christ. And that's how we ought to look at it. And during this time of trial and testing, you said earlier that we take comfort in God's Word, the Bible. We go there. That's where we get our strength from. That's what our desire is, to go to the Bible and just feast on the Word of God. Just listen to Him speak to us from the Bible. And He strengthens us, and at times He teaches things from the Bible, and we continue to wait upon Him and serve Him. Don't worry about tomorrow, next week, or next year. No, it's a daily walk with Christ. And although that longing is there to be with Christ, and every true believer has a longing to be with Christ forevermore, because we're strangers and pilgrims in this earth. This is not our home. We're just, like Abraham, we're dwelling in tents, so to speak. We're not here to set up shop, you know, to, like the unsaved man does. This is all he's going to get. And, you know, these physical things that unsaved man gets are blessings from God. God has been merciful and gracious to the wicked. And look at this beautiful day and weather. God has been, I tell you, it's more than they deserve. He causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. And God is, I don't understand it, but that's what he says. But let's look at Psalm 63. As we are living in this day where God is testing us and we're waiting upon him, we go to God's word and look at Psalm 63. You know, the Psalms are hymns, and God's people throughout the ages have taken great comfort in the word of God. It's the Psalms. It says Psalm 63 verse 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. See, that's the cry of the true believer's heart. We long for Christ to come. We can't wait for that day when no longer we have to carry around this body that is under the curse of God and sin and all these things that's in this life, and that's where our heart is. And verse 2, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They that fall by the sword, they shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. And this is the joy, the desire of God's people. This is a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. And this is the cry of the true believer's heart. Our soul long to be with Christ. We want to be with him, but we have to wait. We have to wait upon God, patiently wait upon him, because God's in total control of all things. Total control of all things. Here we pass May 21 now, almost a couple of years now, and we're still here. We're being tried. We're being tested by Almighty God. And look at Psalm chapter 6. Psalm chapter 6, verse 1. These Psalms are very wonderful. They're beautiful. It is the Word of God. And it says, O Jehovah, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Jehovah, for I am weak. O Jehovah, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul also sore vexed. But thou, O Jehovah, how long? How long? But we know that God will fulfill his promises to his people. Return, O Jehovah, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. In death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eyes is consumed because of grief. It waxes old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for Jehovah hath heard the voice of my weeping. Jehovah hath heard my supplication. Jehovah will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. See, the psalm speaks so put into words that we can't say. You know, but God knows what is going on in our heart. And when we read these psalms, it's, to me, it's to say exactly what you want to say. But at times you can't find the words to put it into words to pray it back to God. And how wonderful it is as we patiently wait upon God. There's nothing wrong in waiting upon God and longing to be with Him. And that will be fulfilled soon, I believe. In Psalm 84, in verse 1, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Jehovah of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of Jehovah. My heart and my flesh cried out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow has found an house and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Jehovah of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are they that dwell in thine house. They shall still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca maketh a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Jehovah God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For Jehovah God is a sun and shield. Jehovah will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walketh uprightly. O Jehovah of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. And as we wait upon God, you know, we so much want to be with him, whether by life or death, whether he takes us in death, which is a blessing for the true believer, or we're here when he returns. But we continue to wait upon him. We continue to wait because God's perfect will be done. And that's what all true believer wants, for God's perfect will to be done in us. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 15, a very familiar passage to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15 to 18. Here he says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. You know, I read this verse the other day. I was thinking about this. And he says, for all things are for your sakes. God went through, you wouldn't say trouble, of paying for the sins of his people and doing all these things for our sake, for the elect's sake. You know, his patience, his mercy, and all these things is for the elect's sakes, for our sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. So all the true believers, he saves us for his own glory. It's to the glory of God why he does all this. And, you know, and putting up with man for the last 13,000 plus years is to save a people for himself. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which I looked this up, and the affliction, the word tribulation, we're being tried. tribulation, for a light affliction, which is but for a moment. See how long our trial is? It's just for a moment. You know, you could live to be a ripe old age of 90 or 100. It's only but a moment compared to eternity. How long is 100 years? The closer I get to 100, I realize it's not a long time. It's not long. But when you're young, when you're 10 and 15 years old and you hear somebody say they're 50, oh man, you think it's, oh, it's way down. No, it's not. It's not far. It's, you know, the years are just rolling away, and before you know it, you who think when you were 15 never thought you would be 50, guess what? You're 50 now. When you look back, how did I get here this quick? Time have wings on it. You know, it goes by very fast. But he says, our light affliction, but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, you know, this world is, all they see is, you know, they see things. And they think, you know, that's everything. But no, the true believers doesn't look at the material things in life. How quickly can we lose it? All it takes, the hurricane or a tornado or a funnel cloud, and within seconds. Things, something that you work for 30, 40 years are gone in a few seconds. You know, so our eyes are not on these things. But it says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You remember, was it Abraham who saw a city whose builder and maker is God? It wasn't looking at these things. True believers doesn't, well, yeah, we live in this world, we need a job, we need a roof over our heads and all these things. But that's not where our heart is. And now we're living in a day when we're so close to the very end. Very close. May 21 was Judgment Day. Here's a big red flag. And the word went out over the media. The world heard it. And the world is just business as usual. Who paid attention to it? Oh, they heard and they were troubled for a little bit. But now it's all past. They think the danger is past. But, you know, and how sad that is. So the world is passing away and all the lust thereof. It's going to be burned up on that last day. But we look away from that. And this, God just goes on to tell us in the Bible that for the true believers, the future is bright. We have a bright future. You know, we live in the world here. Oh, plan for your future. You know, tell kids, oh, plan for your future. Do this, do that. Yeah, that's all good and well. But there's a future there that it's beyond human comprehension, really. If these things that God spoke about in the Bible, the blessing that the true believer has come into, and is a gift of God, we don't deserve it. If it wasn't in the Bible, it would have been hard to be believed. It would be difficult for me to believe it if it wasn't in the Bible. But we know it is true. The future for the true believers can never be better, because God has declared it. The Word of God has declared it. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, I believe. Ephesians chapter 2, that God goes on to tell us how, after we're saved, look at this blessing, these blessings that God has given to us. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, and has raised us up together and made us sit. If you're a true child of God right now, we are reigning with Christ. Spiritually, we are reigning with Him, who has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is, in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness to usward through Jesus Christ. We're seated with Him. And He goes on to tell us how we're going to reign with Him throughout all eternity. What? How could this be that God would do this for anybody? Not one of us deserve it. Are we going to reign with Him? And how He speaks in Revelation about a new heaven and a new earth and death and all these things are done away with and no more pain, and we won't remember this life, and all these things that God has written about, and these only pertain to the true believers. Unsaved man won't have all these blessings. And how God tells us how He became our salvation. Almighty God, in the person of Christ, took upon Him a human flesh. Because if you look at Isaiah, remember that very familiar passage in Isaiah chapter 12? God becoming our salvation. How could that be that God would be so gracious to a rebellious people? But we know it is true because the Bible has declared it. When you ask somebody, what is salvation? They might have a, they might look at you like, what? What do you mean, what is salvation? God is salvation. The Bible says it here in Isaiah chapter 12 verse 1. In that day thou shalt say, O Jehovah, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. God is. God is salvation. And he goes on. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. God is salvation. Jesus Christ is Jehovah God. And many people grapple with that Christ is not God. Yes, he is. God becoming our salvation in the person of Christ, and how he tells us that he has paid for our sins from the foundation of the world, and all these things that the true believers have come into, and all the true believers are saved, and now we're just waiting for God to end the world and complete the salvation of his people. And what a blessing that is. But the cry of the true believer's heart is they want the perfect will of God to be done, and we want to be with Christ. But we have to wait. We have to wait a little bit. And that's not our nature to wait. We want it right away. But no, God knows far better than we do. He sees the bigger picture of all of things we don't. And he's working these things out. And at the end, he will bring it to fruition, and there we will be with him throughout all the ages. What a blessing. And we shouldn't lose sight of that. No matter what trial that he has put us, we're being tested, we're being tried, we have to keep our focus on God's word, the Bible. Okay, let's stop here and take a break. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that thou art indeed a God of comfort, a God of mercies, and oh Lord, thou art all wise, thou art all knowing, and oh Father, we are so glad that in thine infinite mind, oh Lord, from eternity, thou hast decided to save a people for thyself, probably 200 million, and oh Lord, how could it be, how can this be that God would do this for us? But we know it's not anything that we have done. We're saved through Christ. We're saved for the praise of thy glory. There is no goodness in us that you would choose anybody. Well, we are so thankful, O God, that thou hast saved the people for thyself of this miserable human race. You will be perfectly just, O Lord, if you would destroy all of us. But, O Lord, thy ways are not our ways. Thy thinking is not our thinking. And we are so glad, O Lord, that you have saved the people for thyself. Father in heaven, as we wait upon thee, O Lord, we pray that you will strengthen us day by day. And, O Father, we pray for our families, our children. And, O Father, we thank you for this gathering here today, O Father, and we thank you for each and every one of us. We pray for all the activities of this day, that all things may be done to the praise of thy glory. And, O Father, what a blessing that you, the true believers, have come into. We can't talk about it enough. And all those of us who are truly saved could say, I don't deserve it. I don't know why God saved me. But all we could do is praise thee and worship thee and serve you all our day. Father, we thank you for each one of us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.